Good morning, each and everyone. Good morning. And I'm sure everyone can hear my voice. Certainly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we must rejoice and be glad in it. I want to, first of all, use this opportunity to greet each and everyone that is present, visitors, saints of God. I want to just tell you how happy I am to be with you today and to have this opportunity to share with you a message from the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. The chapter is 30 and the verse is 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. I chose a topic today, creatures of choice. Each and every one of us, God has made us creatures of choice. And we have a responsibility, since God has set before us many things to choose. And I'm going to tell you about seven today. If you look at verse 15 of the same chapter, the Bible said, God has set before us good and evil, and the choice is ours. God has also set before us, if you look at 2 Thessalonians in your Bible, chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading from verses 10. Through 12. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, and they all may be condemned, who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The truth in God's word is precious. It is precious more than silver, and it is precious more than gold. But while many people despise the word of God through blindness, choose sin, and the sin that is so deceptive, God still has given mankind a choice. He says we must choose between truth and error. And for those who chose error, God would send them, yes, a strong delusion, that they may be condemned. Those people who chose not to believe God, but to live in the pleasure of unrighteousness, the choice is there. God has also set before us, and I back up that verse from a passage in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Rather, it's 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. For which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentile in faith and in truth. So God has given us truth, but yet error is still in the land. We have a choice. Choose today, Joshua, he reminds us in his word, who the people of the Israelites will serve. He says, the choice is yours. And just for us today, God made us free moral agents. God gives us a choice. God could have put all of us in chains and pull us behind him, but God says no. He wants us to choose who we will serve today. Blessings or curse? The people had it then, and we have the same choice today. We sing and bless because God has certainly blessed us. He has blessed us in so many ways. But yet, mankind forget about God. Mark, the 16th chapter, as the Great Commission was given, Mark 16, and we're going to look at verse 15 and 16 for emphasis. In the Great Commission, Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go preach. Is our mission here on earth. Go teach is our mission. Carry the gospel. We are God's messengers. Of course, we are those who chose to do what is right, those who chose to live the way that God would want us to live. Go into all the world. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. This is an opportunity for all mankind on the earth. It is universal. So here is the choice, salvation or condemnation. We have a right to choose God's way, or we can go the other way and be condemned and be separated from God in eternity. We also have another opportunity because God has set these choices, these simple, straightforward choices right in front of us. He says we can choose life, we can choose to live. We can choose the truth. Yes, and you and I know that the truth gives us freedom. The truth would lead us into the paths of righteousness. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in verse 13, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others sorrow who have no hope. You and I, and for most of us who have loved ones parting from us in debt, sometimes we sorrow. Sometimes we know or we have a good idea the kind of life they lived before they left this life. Yet, we are comforted in God's word, and sometimes we know and we have hope to meet some of those as we go. But God has set hope and despair. The good thing about God is that He is so good. He never leaves us comfortless. So He says, choose. Whether we want to choose eternal hope or we want to choose hopelessness. Whether we want to choose comfort in Christ, a consolation in Christ, or we want to choose not knowing where we're going. Despair. Living without hope in this generation. And we need to comfort each other as we live in hope of the life to come, because Christ is coming again. And He will be coming again in due time. Some writer referred to it as soon. He is our soon coming King. Choose between heaven and hell. Choose between life and death. We have choices under God, and I'm happy for that today. I'm happy to tell you that I am truly, truly blessed, because just as you are today, because God has offered us that source of blessing. And so, we are responsible for quite a number of things. But I will share some with you today. You cannot get away from your responsibility. And I'm going to tell you about that today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and if you look at verse 5, the first responsibility that we have is for what we think. Casting down and that's 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Spiritual mind is life. Exaltation is that which we're not to have. Don't develop a spiritual pride, but in humility, let us humble ourselves and be careful what we think. Paul writing to the church in Philippians chapter 4, I believe it is, says, whatsoever things that are honest, whatsoever things that are lovely, I believe it's Philippians 4, verse 8. He says, whatsoever things that are of good report, whatsoever things that are lovely, we have to think on these things. We have a great responsibility for what we think. We'll not get away from it. Our thoughts must be one that is clear-cut, one that, like the mind of Christ, we are to develop that way. If you look at the book of Acts, chapter 17, and verse 30, truly, these times of ignorance God overlook, but command men everywhere to repent. We will not escape the judgment of God if our thoughts are not in accordance with the will of God. If we don't have good thoughts, and we must think the best things as it relates to God. Think lovely things. Think the best of each other as we encourage each other to do what is right and to do what is well-pleasing in the sight of God. We have a responsibility for what we know. God's divine forbearance. He overlooked a time of ignorance, but today we have the Spirit with us as a guide through the Word of God. That's why we must study the Word, so that we can be assured that God will approve our behavior. He will approve our conduct. He will approve our lifestyle, but we have to know what we do. We have to know what God requires of us. In the letter, in the second letter to the Thessalonians, you turn there with me. We also have a responsibility for what we believe. That they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. We must be careful what we believe. Yes, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Believe that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Believe that He came about me. He came about you. He came about all mankind. Came that we may have life. We can believe the best things that are written in the book. We can believe all the scriptures because guess what? They are true. And righteousness tendeth to life. I know in whom I have believed. And you have believed in Him. That's Jesus. And we need to be persuaded that Christ is our Savior today. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12. And there's a verse here. Four to seven is the verse. Luke chapter 12, we have a responsibility for what we do. And that servant who knew His master's will and did not prepare himself to do according to this will shall be beaten with many stripes. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all men. do not neglect our duty. There is a sin, and for all sin there will be punishment. If we know what God requires of us and we do not do it, then we are in danger of the judgment of God. In the book of James, chapter 1, it is, rather it's, no, not 1, somewhere else, that's right, James chapter 3, it is in verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we will have a stricter condemnation. Speak the truth, and speak it ever. We must speak the truth in love. Tell it like it is. We have a responsibility to keep the commandments of God. Responsibility and an obligation to God. We have a choice though. We don't have to. But think about, depart from me, you're lawless. Depart from me. Think about going right up to the judgment seat of Christ, and he says, but I never knew you. The commandments of my Father you have not done. Depart from me, you're lawless. How sad it is. How sad it is to face the judgment. So we have a responsibility for what we teach. More than all, we have a responsibility for our souls. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for our souls. As those who must give account, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. We must have loyalty for those who lead us, those who watch over us. Matter of fact, God asks us to obey those, our bosses, those who are in leadership, because they watch for our souls. They encourage us. They want the best of us. They want us to enter into life. The preacher wants us to be with God at the end of the day, when all this life on earth is ended. We have enough trials here. We have a lot of troubles here. We experience hardships. We experience sicknesses. We experience downtimes. We have so much to contend with here in this life. But we look for a great day with God. We look for a great day. So be responsible for those who watch our souls. So, of the things mentioned, what would God have us to choose? God would want us to choose truth. Yes. God would want us to choose hope and blessings. God would want us to choose life. God would want us to choose, yes, the very best things. he would want us to choose heaven. But come to think about salvation, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not will be condemned. Becoming a Christian, yes, we know, it requires repentance, it requires some persuasion. It requires faith, confession, and baptism also requires us to imitate Jesus Christ, to follow him, to walk in the steps of the Savior, to be in that form, imitating Jesus Christ. Sometimes I hear people say salvation is free. Yes, in a sense, salvation is free. But what does it cost to be a Christian? It costs, if you look at John 3 and verse 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The salvation that has been brought down from heaven has cost God his Son. That's a big cost. The salvation, the cost to become a Christian, cost Jesus Christ his life. That's awesome. That's a lot. Hardly anybody here would give their lives for somebody else. A husband may find it hard to step up and say, oh yeah, you killed me instead of my wife. Here's the opportunity. Or a wife may say, okay, you take me instead of him. But Jesus set the example. To become a Christian, the cost, sometimes it costs the preacher effort, much effort. It costs others prayers, yes? And for all of us who are walking with God, influence. It causes us to have, we must have good influence. That is our testimony, our light shining before men, that they may see our good works and so glorify God in heaven. For some they forsook all and followed Jesus. It costs self-sacrifice. So to become a Christian, it comes with a cost. A life of service for many. Yes? We could have been elsewhere today. We could have been at home. We could have been still relaxing maybe after a long weekend. But we know that God expect of us, he require of us to come into his courts with praise, into his house with singing and thanksgiving and prayer, and we remember his death, his suffering. We give as unto the Lord because it is required of us. And so with this sacrifice that we are making here today in Jesus, in his presence, then God is pleased with this sacrifice. So why should we become a Christian if you're here today and you're not saved? The opportunity is set before you. Why should I become a Christian? Yes, to be saved. It is profitable. It is honorable. Oh, how good it is to walk in the steps of the Savior, to move from a life of condemnation to a life of salvation, to move from a life of despair to a life of hope, to move from a life of sadness to living in a world without hope, to a life where we know that we know where we're going. God has made us that way. It is God that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, sheep of His pasture. So that is why we come into His courts with praise. It's so good every single time that we can come together. The tools and the trees gathered, touching anything concerning His name, blessings. Choose the blessings of God. He says, I'm in your midst to bless. Outside of the presence of God, we don't have a lot of blessing. The spiritual blessing, the blessings of God being with us and blessing us and shaping us and guiding us and building us up into that spiritual house. More than all, it is profitable. So profitable. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? There's nothing better in this life than to have hope. Matter of fact, we want to go now. We want to be with God. Because we know Jesus, when He left earth, He says, I go. But it's for us to choose whether we want to go where He lives someday. To be in the mansion. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. We have a choice. We can choose to be in that place. We sing, we look at the New Jerusalem. We look at the paradise home. We look at a place prepared for the saints where the saints will abide. Choose happiness. Choose life. Choose hope. Choose to be with God. Choose blessings. Yes. Everything else weighs on the negative side. May God richly bless you today. May God keep you. And for those who are outside the ark of safety, I encourage you today. Make your request be made known before time changes to eternity.